I would think, ladies and gentlemen, that the toughest question that could be fielded by a standard issue Christian evangelist, that is to say a non-evangelist, a malangelist, a crapangelist, is the question, what happens if I don't believe? Because we know that the mainstream religious evangelist, malangelist, crapangelist will set forth Jesus Christ as a lure, as a possibility, as an offer. Certainly not as a probability, because we know that the majority of people are not interested in God or Christ. But when you do set it forth as an offer, that offer can be rejected. And if the person being accosted, attacked by this so-called good news, if this person has any sharpness or sense, they will ask this question, what happens if I don't believe? And that is the point where the crapangelist is stuck, because now they are saddled with terrible news. And to be consistent with their deathly belief system, they will have to say, either you will be annihilated forever, or worse, you will be burned in hell forever. What if I don't believe? You will be burned in hell forever. At which point, the poor accosted person is shocked, disgusted, and should push with both hands the crapangelist away. We have the blessed privilege of being able to answer that question with the good news. This is why, because there are certain immutable things. That might have been a redundancy. Certain immutable things? No, I'll stick with it. That are true whether you believe or not. Whether you believe or not. This is how we need to present the evangel. We talked earlier about 2 Corinthians 5. That God has made peace with the world. That is true whether you believe it or not. That is why we can tell someone when we present the actual evangel, the good news, not the bad news, not the crap news. We can tell them that God is at peace with you. God is not holding anything against you. God is smiling at you. God is not looking at your behavior and is disappointed with you. And that person would rightly say, "What? God, what do I have to do to make this true?" At which time we can say, you don't have to do anything to make it true. It's true whether you believe it or not. And this simple statement, whether you believe it or not, is earth-shattering. It's actually as old as Paul's evangel, but we never hear it because it has been lost, whether you believe or not. These are the things God has done irrespective of human behavior through Christ. He has made peace with the world. And he has delivered the world from their sin. That's right. Look at this. Also in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Well, the poor people who think they have the evangel, they don't. This is their problem. They don't realize the difference between the righteousness of Christ being for all. It's for all, but it's only on all those who are believing. They don't understand the difference between eternal life and Aeonian life. They don't have that distinction. They think it's all in one big package. But we have the blessed knowledge of the eons, and we know that God has special things for those who believe, but he also has a nice little package for all of humanity, whether they believe or not. And one of the things found under the umbrella of this great evangel is that God is presently at peace with you whether you believe it or not. That is a shocking message to tell somebody, and it will stop them in their tracks. And they'll say, what if I don't believe it? Well, if you don't believe it, you'll be robbed of an appreciation of it, but it's true for you whether you believe it or not. Not only peace, but the taking away of sins. That has been done for all humanity, whether they believe it or not. In the same context, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for the love of Christ is constraining us. I'm in verse 14. judging this, that if one died for the sake of all, that's capital O, that's Jesus Christ, and he did die for the sake of all, consequently all died. That's a huge verse that we have not paid enough attention to. If one died for the sake of all, consequently all died. So everyone, the entire human race, has been considered to have died with Christ. And here's a follow-up verse to that. Romans 6, verse 7. One who dies has been justified from sin. One who dies has been justified from sin. And we learn in 2 Corinthians 5 that one died for the sake of all, and the all is all humanity. I cross-reference you to Romans 5, 18 and 19. Consequently, all died, and he who dies has been justified from sin. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, Paul says in 1 Timothy. This is the message. That you, sir or madam, are saved from your sins. The righteousness of God is here. But again, and God's not counting his sins or your sins or your offenses. A sin is breaking a law, an offense is hurting God's feelings. You know, making friends, the friendship restored with God. Both these things apply to the world right now through Paul's evangel, whether people believe them or not. Imagine telling people this message, the whether you believe it or not message. Now, this is not aeonian life, because belief, which is a gift of God, ushers one into aeonian life. It's a special life. It's an early life. That's a different story. The appreciation of it, the being justified, the being, the coming into it, the incomplete verb form, the Philippian jailer, what must I do to be being saved? The knowledge that the sunshine of God is on you. It's like the sun shines on the whole world, right? Remember that verse, God sends the rain on the just and the unjust alike? Well, he does the same with the sunshine. And it's like those who don't believe that, those who haven't been told that, it's like they're wearing burqas or the hijab or whatever these Muslim women wear, just totally covered in dark cloth, and they're not getting any of the effects of it. But it's the sun shining on them. It's that kind of a thing. They just haven't heard it. It's still true, whether they believe it or not. A great verse to corroborate all this is 1 Timothy 4:10. You're familiar with this verse. We rely on the living God, who is the Savior of all humanity. He is the Savior of all humanity, especially of believers. There's that vital difference between immortality and aeonian life. Let me tell you this. You can tell anyone that you present this evangel to that I promise you, you are guaranteed immortality with God. You will be made immortal and you will live for eternity with God, whether you believe or not. That's a shocking message, yet that's the gospel of Paul. That's the gospel of grace. Whether you believe it or not, you will live forever with God. You will be granted immortality. When does that happen? At the consummation, when death is abolished. There's the verse. God is the Savior of all humanity. And all humanity has been justified from sin because one died for the sake of all. Consequently, all died, and he who dies has been justified from sin. This is a great verse, but we have that extra special thing in there, as he's the Savior of all humanity, especially of believers. That deals with the people who are involved. Again, go to Romans 5, 18, 19. Paul says there that everyone who was condemned in Adam are justified in Christ. There's another corroborating verse to Romans 6, 7. The justification of life to the same all who are condemned in Adam. Another passage, parallel verse. 1 Corinthians 15, 21-22. As in Adam all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. And there's no mention made there of anyone's faith. No mention made of anyone living a righteous life. No mention made in either of these passages, 1 Timothy 4:10 or 1 Corinthians 15, 21-22, or Romans 5, 17 and 18, 2 Corinthians 5, no mention made here of faith. Faith gets you in early. Faith gets you a current, present peace and appreciation of it. But what a glorious thing to be able to tell people what is true for them. Immortality, guaranteed. the favor of God right now, guaranteed. True for them, whether they believe it or not. They've never heard that. They've never heard it. So 1 Timothy 4:10 deals with the people that are involved here, all humanity. 1 Timothy 2:6 deals with the timing of the thing. And this goes along with 1 Corinthians 15:21 and 22. Here's the timing of the thing. I'll start with verse 5. 1 Timothy 2:5. Listen to this. You're going to love it. For there is one God and one mediator, one go-between of God and humanity, the whole humanity, everyone born in Adam. And that is a human, Christ Jesus, who is giving himself a correspondent ransom for all. A correspondent ransom for all. 2 Corinthians 5, one died for the sake of all. But listen to this. The testimony in its own eras. The testimony, that is the marking of it. Testimony means to mark. The marking of this truth, that God sent Christ to be a correspondent. Correspondent to who? To Adam. He corresponds to Adam. Romans 5, 18 and 19. But the marking of this, the testimony won't be until its own eras, its own time for it. Perfectly gels with 1 Corinthians 15, 21, 22. As in Adam all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified, yet each in his own class. Each in his own class and each in his own time. Wow. Can you imagine how this changes everything? Can you imagine? I mean, just think of how easy this is. Think of how pure this is. Think of how everything on the Orthodox side got trashed when they lost the truth of the eons, when they lost the truth that the elect aren't the only ones to come in to saving faith, but they're the first to come in. And that the elect are not brought in exclusive of the rest, but God uses the elect to reach the rest. That's what orthodoxy misses. This is why Satan made sure in the on the translating tables with the King James Version and any other version that was based on the Latin and not the Greek, when they put the word eternal for the beautiful word ion, which means a period of time. And so the great gift of faith, which is monumental gift, if you have it, thank God for it, brings you in early, gives you an appreciation right now of justification. You are being saved. It lets you bask in the sunshine of God without wearing some stupid dark cloak of deniability. People might say, I don't believe that, I don't believe that. But if you present it this way, they'd be stupid not to believe. Wouldn't somebody be stupid not to believe you presenting something as a fact rather than a challenge? Yes, a fact rather than a challenge.